Go ahead and call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order for July 9th, 2019. All rise for pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Entertain any public comment? All right, we'll move on then to agenda review. Is there any additions,
Exceptions?
One addition I got, we can put it under old city business, and that would be to discuss city website backup.
Anybody else have anything else to add or delete or move around? If not, I look for a motion to approve as amended.
I move to approve the agenda as amended.
Seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Now I look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Seconded. Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Next piece on the agenda is the property for Nick Rosen's. Just in time.
I missed the pledge. You guys want to do it again?
Nick, when you get signed in, if you just want to come up in the hot seat up there and state your name and address and all that fun jazz.
It's Nick Rogozinski. I guess 430 Louisa at the moment. We've been working a little bit toward putting a house over on it, subdividing that property, putting a house on it. We spoke with, or emailed, I suppose, not spoke, with Bolton and Mank. They had a couple of questions, but no concerns.
No, I think the only thing we run into, Nick, we talked to our planner, and I'm going to address it a little more.
Okay.
Tomorrow with them.
It's a picture.
I don't know why it won't come up here. Why it won't just let me highlight it. But anyways,
so the only real their big concern is we got this parcel where your house is.
Yes.
And then this is the other parcel. Right, if we're looking at subdivide.
Yep.
And then build on this parcel. Mm-hmm. So their concern is this then becomes a non-conforming lot.
Right.
You know, because these are two or... And that's another thing. I just talking with the mayor today, we discussed this.
Okay.
How that works with an alley dividing. So that's another question. Because we have other parcels in town too where we've run into this issue and they won't let us, you know, just like combine the parcels. So I'm trying to figure out how these got combined. So that's one of my...
Oh, to start with.
Right. To start with, that they had to both have the same parcel ID numbers.
Right.
Because we were told, I was told when we were looking to do this with another parcel, can't do that because it's divided by half. So that's kind of a hurdle now that I want to look at, and hopefully we can, you know, get around that and get through it.
Okay.
Then the only other thing is like we said, this then becomes a non-conforming lot for our subdivision ordinance. Mm-hmm. Basically what that means is, I don't know the exact numbers, but it looks like it's about 40 by 70, that lot, somewhere in there.
That's what it, yeah.
From what I can...
We've never really measured it across, you know, it's 70 feet deep, that shows up in our...
So, you know, what will we run into there then, you know, if we split this and are able to combine these, this becomes a non-conforming lot. So what that means is what we run into in the future is you're really not going to be able to do much with that house in the future, make any changes or, you know, and kind of my thought is, well, we'll deal with that when we come across that. That could be 50 years from now or tomorrow, or we don't know, right? When we'd have to deal with an issue because it's not important.
And by changes, we're talking major structural.
Major structural.
Not like updates.
Exactly. Yeah. Add on, addition,
Yep.
You know, some burn down, I want to build bigger, something
like that. They want to use double barber and we're really not what you want to do on that lot anyway.
Right. So I think for now, kind of what we need to do is get that survey done.
Yes.
So if you can get that done.
Yep.
And then also on that survey show how you want to subdivide it.
Yep.
One of the other things, I don't know, I just want to look at this too. There's an alley in here.
Yes.
And this may be something we can think of vacating.
I think that is vacated, isn't it?
Doesn't show on records, but I'm like, here we go again.
Yeah, you know? No, way back when Hobie, they gave utility easement, I believe. And the alley got vacated when Hobie built his new house. I could check with Digga. He might know a little bit more about it.
You can do that.
When I was on the council the last time, that did come up, and I do remember that we had a discussion. And I think that alley is vacated, and all that we have is utility easement through there.
Right. Okay. So then we'll look into that too, Nick, to see so that we can do that and
pop up a little bit,
square that up too. While we're doing all this. So I think for right now, I think what we're looking at is, I just want to iron out with the county how these are the same parcel and how that's going to affect us when we subdivide.
Okay.
So I think that is the only thing really I need to move forward, because once we subdivide this, I think what we can do is we'll look at front footage here of other existing homes in the area to see, you know, what we need for variance, but really, I think your main thing right now is to get this subdivided so you can sell this property.
Right.
So I think the only unanswered question I got is, how's that going to work with, once we subdivide this, can we keep this the same, that there's an alley divided there, keep the same parcels for these two pieces here.
Okay.
So I think really that's my only other question I need to get answered.
Okay.
Moving forward, you know, once we do get that squared around, then we can start working on looking at the placement and what variances we would need.
Okay. Yeah, I spoke to Civil League Survey after finally today. They want to run last week, obviously. So they're thinking they can get it done maybe in the next week. So
well, I hope so, because I'm still waiting for stuff from them from this winter.
Just keep in mind, guys, coming down that alley, though, we have a storm sewer.
Okay.
So if we have to grant you a variance, we're going to need some room in there. It's not very deep, so if anything ever did go wrong with it, it would be a huge piles of dirt or anything to dig it up or replace it or whatever.
Do we know where it is?
I think it runs right down the alley.
Right down the alley.
I think so.
Okay.
If you really want to know, Greg, maybe you could take a look at it.
Yeah, we'll probably want to identify that.
Yeah.
Because we'll probably want to document it in a survey.
But not for variances and stuff, you know. Yeah. You just don't want to get your buildings too close in case we would have to get in there to replace it or something.
Right. Okay. And
so we did get assigned a new planner.
Yes.
Because we got caught in between. I think I'd have had more information if it seemed like everybody took off the week of the 4th. And then we had this Sarah Strain that I was working with, Bolton and Mink. She took another position, so she left. And now today I finally did get word of a contact. So I will be talking with him tomorrow.
Okay.
To iron everything out.
Okay.
And then I'll keep in touch.
If for some reason they say we can't do that, then I won't spend the money on the survey after selling.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I should be able to get that answer tomorrow.
Okay. Question.
Council, any questions? Or Nick, any other questions?
No, we'll keep going one step at a time.
Sounds good.
Thank you, fellas.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
Fellas and ladies. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Move on then to old city business, the storage container at 400 Railroad Street.
Okay, so basically with that, I believe it was probably 2 months ago, we got a letter from the county basically saying that it was more of a civil matter than a matter that they would take up. So for now, I think basically what we'll look at is attorneys will be coming to our next meeting.
which I'm looking, we're looking to schedule it for June 30th, which I'll get a little more detail on that later in the agenda. But I think at that time we'll address it, so we'll kind of move that, or July 30th, sorry, yeah. Another item, state building code, you know, the unsafe building determinations. I talked to Scott Qualley with MinSpec, and kind of my thought process would be is that we would send out a friendly letter to try to access these properties versus having to go through the administrative search warrant. But we'd probably only give them like 10 days. They don't get back to us, then we would look at going through doing the administrative search warrant at that time. So unless there's any objections from council, I think that's kind of the route we'll take.
Do you need a motion for the administrative action?
Yeah, probably if we have to get to that point, it would be good to have that motion so that we can keep moving forward.
What I would look first for council is to have a motion made to direct staff to give a friendly letter to the three properties in question with them to have a response date of July 19th. If no response is given by July 19th, then the administrative warrants will be granted.
I move to have staff send letters, friendly letters to three residences and wait for response by July 19th. If no response, move forward with administrative warrant.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Have at it. George Street Development.
Okay, just kind of give an update on that. The water is in, it is not online yet, and they're still continuing to move forward with that. Right now, what I'm working on with Sibley Surveyors is the easements that we need to obtain and get them planted. So that's kind of what I'm working on right now. Lois did come in, was that yesterday, Tamara,
yeah.
Correct? And talked to me yesterday, once again, asking what the city's portion, what city portion we were going to. So I did give her that information and tell her that, you know, all the storm sewer work, that the city's paying for that in the pond. Because she's like, well, I'm donating the land. I don't think I have to pay for the bond. I said, nope, city's paying for the bond. You're donating the land. So I think slowly but surely we're moving forward with that.
When they go to the pond, I don't know if this has anything that we should bring up to Justin Black or not, but I hit two field tile that I left open that. And I went down there with the side of my side-by-side the other day after that little bit of rain the other night.
Yep.
And it probably was, I would say at one point you could see where the straw and corn stuff and everything was up, how full the pond was. There's probably about 7-8 feet of water in the pond. I went and looked. And there's back down to about a foot, man. Because everything's draining out there, two field tile by that point. And it's all going to the ditch. Now, would we take a chance that they keep running? I'm sure Justin's going to say no, but they were all plastic tile.
Okay.
Versus spending all this money to put that pipe in and keep it all the way over to the river.
Right.
Is that something you think we should ask him or run by him?
Probably, just so we don't run into any future issues or items down the road here. I mean, the last thing.
Because, even where they're going to put the pond, it's gonna, or the pipe that's in the pond, it's going to run to the railroad tracks, it would have drained maybe a foot and a half of water out there. And then the rest of the water would stay there. As long as I don't block off some 2 feet time, I'll always maintain about a foot and a half of water. I think that's
a little bit better. Now I can see what SCH has to say.
Yeah, I'll bring that forward to our engineer.
Anything else, Council, for that project? No, we'll move on then to the water tower updates. As everybody knows, put our current water tower in the National Registry. Great thing there. So what we need to do tonight then is to approve the bid And then in the same motion, we can make the a motion within that or make note in that motion to do a change order to remove the portion of the bid that regards to the removal of the old tower.
The bid stayed the same, right?
Can we get a number on the bid?
Yep, so I'm pulling that up here for the summary. So basically, so what we want to do is award the bid to McGuire Iron in the amount of $1.133 million, which that would include $80,000 deduct for the later date, completion date. And then also to approve the change order. Sorry, it'll be 1.173. So the motion to award the bid to McGuire Iron for 1.173 and approve change order number one, the demolition deletion of, which will be a deduct of $40,000.
What was the first number? Was it just an error?
Yeah, so what it'll be the motion to award the bid to McGuire Iron for 1.173 million. So basically $1,173,000. And then approve change order number one, which is for the demolition deletion of the old tower, which will be a deduct of $40,000.
Council, do we have a motion?
I make a motion to award the bid to McGuire Iron for $1,173,000, approve change order number one, demolition deletion.
Second.
Seconded to go ahead and award McGuire Iron the bid for the water tower at $1.173 million with the approval of change order number one for the demolition reduction of $40,000. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Finally get the finally. Water tower moving forward.
Whew.
Next item is animal ordinance, chickens.
All right, so for the animal ordinance, Ms. Wilburka is here, so she had, I had gotten some comments from her, and it's in your agenda packet. So kind of one of the concerns was, you know, the license amount. We don't really have nothing specified in the ordinance right now for the license, if it would be for all chickens or per chicken. So that's one thing we have to look at for discussion. The other thing was, can chickens be kept in the coop in the garage? Right now, the way we have it written, we don't allow for that. So that would be something up for discussion. Basically, what their Wilburkas are looking at is that they state they find a lot of value of keeping our coop in the garage. Easiest access to let them in and out of our fence area, provides excellent insulation, allows chickens to have a better chance of survival in extreme cold. It allows the ability for a heat lamp, electricity would not be possible 15 feet from the house, and it keeps their backyard spacious and best looking for neighbors. And also she had talked to one of her neighbors and agreed that they would have no objection to them keeping it in their garage. And then one of the other thing, another thing they had in section D1, you know, the ordinance is basically questioning, you know, if they can basically allow free range, you know, in their fence yard without, you know, having the run, which we have in the ordinance right now, and just limiting them to the coop and the run. The other thing they got, D2, is the square footage. Is the square footage just a coop or also include the run? Basically, they talk about online, a coop is intended for up to 8 chickens, shows the coop area to be about 3 by 3 feet. but about a 7-foot long run. And then in D8, which basically talks about having coverage, you know, or netting on the run, their thought process would be, they would clip the wings so that way they can't fly. And then also what they, you know, would like have in there, that they would be allowed to run freely within their property since it's fenced in. And said she had talked to some of the neighbors too, that that they wouldn't have 20 chickens, you know, be reasonable. So them are kind of some of the concerns brought forth to the city, is from the Wavercas concerning the ordinance. Basically, we've had to do some shuffling around. I wasn't here for the last meeting, but we were looking to hold, you know, a public hearing to approve this ordinance, but I think we'll probably look at holding a public hearing for July 30th. That way it gives a little more time to review these comments. I don't know if you want to add anything to it, or
that just sums them up. I mean, I know at the last hearing that I was at, I think Mayor, you had said, you know, we're not looking to overregulate. And so I just want to remind you of the comment that you made, because there's a lot of regulation in the proposed thing. And, you know, I said to Jeremy several times, I'm not trying to be unreasonable. I mean, if I'm missing something, I want to know, like, there's a blocking place. Having chickens in your garage is a hazard for what, you know, I don't know. If there's something that I'm missing, I'm very open to it. But right now, it doesn't seem to make any sense. Or, you know, having chickens run free in the yard, aka the neighbor's yard, that's what happened. You know, I can see that. But inside my own fence yard, which literally, again, the way my property is, my neighbors are here, my fence is way in here. It's more than the distances that were listed in the ordinance away from my neighbors. So if I'm just keeping them in my fence yard and I clip their wings so they can't fly, I don't understand the reason. It's my yard. It's mine. there's no reason that we need the overhead netting, and there's no reason that they need to be cooped up, I guess. Probably where that term comes from. So I think the chickens probably even appreciate the ability to all breathe. They had a voice. And as far as keeping it in the garage, for my plan, it really only works for my plan if we're not required to have all of that. Because if the coop we have essentially is just a coop, no run. And so I just let them out into the backyard. And so the coop we have is plenty big enough based on all of that. But if I'm required to have a run and only keep them there, then I would have to buy a new coop, which I can do if I'm required. But really, as far as the chickens are concerned, it's worse, because I'm not going to buy a $5,000 coop. That's just the reality. It's not going to be some insulated, fancy electricity. It's not reasonable or possible for me to have electricity 15 feet from my house or whatever the number was that was listed. It's not even possible. So they would just have a real basic, you know, run-of-the-mill coop, which would look nice, and that's fine if that's what we're required to do. But it, by removing some of the restrictions or rewording them, minimally, you know, because I can see the concern to not have chickens run into the neighbor's yard or whatever, but if we reword them to say, you know, or a fenced area to allow for, I guess my exact situation, I think There's no problem. And I did talk to my neighbors. So, as I wrote in my note there, one of my neighbors pointed out there's a lot less restriction with other structures, such as a treehouse. You know, that could be visible to everybody or whatever, or dog kennels, or, you know, those other things. So, that's it. And if we have it on the 30th, I shouldn't be able to come if I need to. But I don't know how that works, if you guys were going to, if you post it as is now, and I need to come back and make.
So what we would end up doing is we'd have a public hearing, just like we've done with other ordinance changes. So at 7 o'clock that night, we'd give the public, we'd probably talk for about 15 minutes at the longest, unless there was a full room. And then during our meeting, we would come to a conclusion on how that ordinance would look, and the council would then go ahead and pass it based on all the feedback that's come in during that time.
Okay, so in the event that I'm not able to make it, can you accept my feedback now, or does it need to be had at the public hearing?
Oh, your feedback now is helpful. It doesn't, it's not going to necessarily change if you know, with the public hearing and that. You know, given that, if you want to give additional feedback up until that point too as well, in writing, we can accept that as well.
Okay. I coach and it canceled today because of the rain, and it's Tuesday. So, and because it canceled, they're trying to reschedule for the 30th, so we'll see what happens there. But otherwise, there's a good chance I won't be able to make it. And I just would like you to hear what I've said, and I'll, if I think of anything else, or I don't know how it works, where if you're like, oh, I agree with that, or I really don't agree with that, or whatever, it's like a new
it would get all further discussed at the public hearing, and then in the meeting we would have the final discussion, and then of course whatever changes we want to make to ordinances that need to be made, and then the council would go ahead and approve it at that point in time.
Okay.
One of the things I will instruct staff though to do is to reach out to the other groups that we looked at,
mm-hmm.
and see what conversation they had around the coop being in the garage or outside of the garage.
Okay.
The one thing that comes off the top of my head, and why maybe I think they may not have allowed it in the garage, is the ability to be inspected.
I mean, I would let you in my garage if you needed to inspect it. I would have no problem with that.
Right.
The way it's written, which is why it was even actually unclear, it to me almost looked like they didn't want chickens living like free range in the garage.
That's what I'm thinking.
And so, yeah, and so but it wasn't clear. And so to me, it also seems like maybe that was the intent, which that, of course, I understand too. You know, you don't want that.
Yeah.
But
so that's the reason I'm going to have staff see what we can get for additional background information.
Sure.
Because I think that's one idea that I think the other ideas, I mean, that's the one that kind of jumps at me. Is what could possibly, why they would say they would want it. Running around in the garage might have been another one too, a concern.
Yeah, and they literally just, they're trained now. They just go right to my backyard, and then you go right back in, and that is right, like you open the coop door, you open my back door in my garage,
mm-hmm.
and it's right there, like against the wall. So they just go right in and out, and it's very convenient. And so if it comes out of inspection, I will gladly have it come back.
How many chickens do you have right now?
Five.
Council, any questions or thoughts in regards to this? Otherwise, you know, we have a few weeks before we're going to have to make a decision one way or the other anyway.
And I don't want more than five, at all, to be clear. Yeah, five is fine.
And what did we go five or six in the ordinance?
I think we have five in the ordinance. I think we said up to five.
Okay.
The only thing we got to keep in mind is when we get this tacked down for neighbors tend to, they do change.
Yeah.
Everything's kosher right now.
Yeah.
Until somebody sells the house, then right back up your battery again. So we got to make sure we get it nailed down.
Yep, and I understand that. That's definitely very fair. I think as far as in the garage, I think a neighbor would probably appreciate the ability to put a coop in a garage, no matter who's next to me, because then they're not going to see it or have to deal with it. So there's that piece, as well as all the other benefits I mentioned, which are very true for Minnesota, especially. And then, I mean, as far as the neighbor not liking my chicken in my own fenced yard that's more than 15 feet from their house, maybe I don't like their dog. I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry. But that's where I'm like, if we set the parameters, and I did talk to my caregivers, and they see that, you know, but if a neighbor were to come and say, I don't like looking at your chicken, well, they're probably not going to like looking at it in the lot either. That's the truth. So I think, you know, if we're able to word it in a sense to frame it where I'm respecting that we're still X distance away from my neighbor's property, which I am on all sides. And really, I have three neighbors the way my lawn is because of Wendell behind me and then Delmer and Perry. So,
yeah, what I would also do, I would encourage those that are under the same thinking as you as far as the concerns that you've raised in regard to what's been proposed out there to make sure that they come for the 30th meeting.
Sure.
Or somehow communicate it up to the staff and that.
Yeah, all that. He was the last one I talked to. I talked to Joel before. Yeah, I think that's a
Well, Joe and Linda give me egg cartons all the time, so you can probably get them from them too.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. Council, any other thoughts? Otherwise, I look for a motion to hold a public hearing on July 30th at 7 o'clock for ordinance number 162.
I can make a motion to set a public hearing for ordinance number 162, July 30th, 7 o'clock.
Second. Moved and seconded to set a public hearing notice for ordinance 162 on July 30th at 7 o'clock. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 7 o'clock it is. Thank you. We'll move on to the land use application for camps. I know we talked about it last time, and due to publication needs, we will need to reschedule that. So my suggestion would be then to do it also on July 30th, but at 7:15. So I look for a motion for that.
I make a motion to set a public hearing for variance for Jeff Camps on July 30th at 7:15.
Second.
Moved and seconded to hold a public hearing for the variance for Jeff Camps' property on July 30th at 7:15. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Two buttons. All right, move on to Seal.
Okay, so that also I should have for July 30th meeting. I only have one bid right now. I'm waiting to get one more estimate. So I should have that by the end of the month. So that should be good for approval on July 30th.
Okay. Community hall improvements.
And so before we jump into,
or do you want to talk about
let's do the
website.
Website.
Okay.
So I don't forget. Flip the page and forget. So Mike Maltz came in today, and he wanted some direction from council as to if we wanted to look at his proposed idea. His thought is to have a backup host. So basically, we'd have a main host, and then we'd have our data backed up on another host, a different company, so two different companies. His thought process was it would be $300 for all the setup issues. For him to get everything set up, and then it would be $100 a month for us to be able to have the two hosts. So that's kind of his solution to keeping the website downtime at a minimum. So that's kind of his redundancy plan. I don't know what council's direction is or what we want to do. He's just looking for some direction as to what the council wants to do for the city website. Currently right now, he doesn't want to keep two hosts unless we want to look at going that route.
What do other cities do?
I have no idea. I would almost think that most would have a backup, you know, the company even you're going through, that they would have a backup site or.
I mean, when I brought this originally up, and that I wasn't necessarily looking for a a second host site, but I wanted for him to come before council, which he did not do, just to provide a plan on how we will never be down again. I don't care what that plan looks like, but I wanted that, and I've reiterated that to him on a couple of occasions. That's what I think we need as a council. Now, if that includes additional potential monies, okay, then we need to reassess the whole website as in its totality and look at other options. I think at one point in time, Norwood was using Orange Ball, but I don't know if they still use Orange Ball now. But I know like others, it just depends on the sizes. So some people have their own IT departments.
Yeah, what's our current cost rate for one website? Because $100 would be for both.
I mean, we don't, yeah, a month.
A month, and what's our monthly?
Right, and right now, we don't spend over $600 for everything. For hosting, licensing, and whatever Mike does. So it'd be a little more, probably we go from, you know, $400 to $600 to, you know, it'd be $1,200 a year, but this year, you know, as we made the change, would be $1,500.
So a little over double the cost.
Yeah. So we're basically, we'd be doubling our cost is what we're looking at, roughly. You know, and it's something what I can do is see what other cities do.
Yeah, I think
come back on the 30th, and then
I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
See what Plato does.
Mayor in New Germany, I'll see what they do and how their hosting works.
Yeah. And then check with Randy and see if there's anything we can get through the county.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's got a soft spot for small cities, so maybe we can pull on that first stream.
Yeah.
All right, now we'll move on to Community Hall. Now,
yes.
All right, flip the page. Community Hall.
All right. So we've looked at that, the pavement that we've talked about replacing where that retaining wall is. Some of the concerns we came into is if we were looking to cut that out, we'd have to, you know, obviously lower that. We'd have to lower the door back there. The grade would be maybe a bit of a concern, you know, because it is about, in some spots, it's 2.5 feet. So what kind of slope? Yeah, you know, what kind of slope we'd have there. And then one of the other things we discussed was drainage, but I think we could easily take care of that by putting a tile line in there. Because there's a catch basin right back there. So I think kind of the biggest concern would be, and I haven't looked at it yet, but that back door, you know, by lowering, yeah, and then having to get that door down and that in there.
Well, you wouldn't even have to lower it down. No, you just frame it
there, so
right.
You just frame it down.
Yeah, your structural is there.
So that would be kind of our, probably our biggest hurdle. Because I think drainage-wise, if we do that, I think we can just put a drain tile in there, run that to that basin out back.
And the property corners, like for, say, for Vernon, there's got to be an easement along that retaining wall.
For the storm, there should be. Should be.
Because that old Pearson drainage still runs through there.
Yeah. It does. I believe it was disconnected when they redid that in 87.
So there's got to be an easement that we could probably do some kind of, or even if we would step it down and do some, maybe some flowers or something.
Right.
Well, say 6 feet or something, and step it down 2.5 feet. You know,
Or could we maybe go further back? Like if we went all the way back to the back end of the tar and just started grading it down from there?
Well, we could make it run both ways, Chris.
Okay.
There's fall both ways.
Because
right now she's pumped up, so it runs both ways now already.
Yeah.
If we cut that down,
just cut it down and still do the same thing.
And we can put the tile in, and we could still have the surface water run off the backside and still have the water underneath run one way because we just bring our tile up. Mm-hmm. Shallower.
Because, I mean, it wouldn't be bad, though, if we could lower that back door with that project by doing that, because now we become better ADA compliant if we ever want to use the basement.
Exactly. It'd be a lot easier to ramp in with that door lowered.
Yeah, because them steps are, yeah. And you take, you know, 2-3 feet out of there, then, yeah, you could. It'd probably be good for that, just for the ADA.
We're looking at killing two birds with one stone, if you do. If we ever do want to do something with the bottom.
Might add a step or two, but that ain't a big deal to the steps, you know, so.
Why don't you guys figure out what the costs are, get some numbers, whether we can make better.
Did Justin ever look at that?
He just eyed it up, but he said, it came down to cost. Do we want to have them put something together? And I'm like, I don't know if I want to get into engineered cost.
Get together.
Can we?
Just get some ballpark or something like that.
Yeah.
You could have like Brad or Corey or somebody look at it.
Right, that's what I was thinking versus spending, you know, $150 an hour on engineering.
Cross that bridge later. All right, all steps?
Same thing. So, you know, once we get that done, then we'll look at the steps back there, getting that done. Benches and the cement pads there. So I believe Lions are okay with the pavers. I've talked to Greg about, so our thought process is just to pick pavers up at Menards. And then we got some people on the Lions Club that's willing to do it if Greg's willing to, you know, do the prep work.
Lions Club has got all the equipment to put the pavers in, and we'll facilitate the manpower of it, just as long as we got it all flattened and good to go, and then fill it in, do all the other stuff. But I have no idea what the pavers do. I just know I can lift them. We got other Lions members that do this for a living.
Yeah, all right. Hand it over to the expert.
So that's where I sit.
So the only thing really there is our thought was doing like a darker gray. So where it kind of matches, blends into the steps there. We'd stay with the gray and white theme.
Move on then to New City Business, 2019 Tax Forfeiture Land Sale.
So
a chance to read information or packets.
Basically, we'll pull that up here. So it's basically this parcel here that's kind of next to Brian and Teresa Siebert on Louisa Street. So that's the parcel that will be up for tax forfeiture. And it'll probably be a late fall sale. Oh, I'm trying to remember, we have till August. What was it again? So typically what they do is when we have a tax forfeiture property come to us, we have the opportunity to say, hey, yeah, we would like that first crack at that property, but then we have to dedicate it as public use. You know, we would, it'd have to be a public use, and we'd have to dedicate it to a special use. Me and Chris kind of talked a little bit about it, and kind of my thought too is if we can make something happen, maybe with some other groups to get a property on there. I mean, I think roughly it's about 70 by 110. So it's not quite, you know, 10,000 square feet. But if you look at them properties, they're pretty close to the street. So I think we could pretty easily get a home on that property. It might be a little work because I believe it's pretty wooded, that area there. But I don't know anything that the city, so basically I'm bringing it to the city to see if there's any reason the city would want to pursue, have first crack at that property.
The thought that I discussed with Jeremy and staff was, so last year when I was down at City Hall, or at St. Paul, trying to get the money for the water tower now, I ran across a couple of housing groups. One was a veterans housing group. Another one is just the general Minnesota Housing Authority group. And the veterans group, one of their goals over the next decade here is to increase the number of single-family dwelling homes for those coming back from war. so they can transition back into society. And so my thought was, if we ever had a property like this come about, that maybe we could talk to those two groups and see about funding and resourcing to maybe be able to make that property into something like that. Or maybe encourage a private builder to build and then they can do that too.
Does Nick know about it? I say, does Nick
know about it? I don't know if he does or not. I don't think I talked to him about that. But that's very possible because he is looking at properties in town, so.
So what cost would you be looking at getting an auction house?
Yeah, I don't know what they got it, valued at right now.
I think our cost would just be whatever, our purchase would just be whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any back taxes or anything on it, hopefully not.
I was under the impression that it's a little bit.
No. You know, because if you look here, you can.
He's just a nice guy, mowed it all the time.
I think he probably just took care of it because it was Diana Payne before him. You know, because she owned this property too.
See, that was part of.
You know, she had this property and this property. And she managed to sell this, and then this just went back tax forfeiture.
That's where the house that Brian and Teresa live in now is part of that. It was the Finke blacksmith shop years ago. So Leonard Finke owned that property with that, so somehow that must have got split.
Yeah, because I know the last time it sold, I know they wanted to buy it, but I don't think they knew when the sale was. And they always told me that, you know, hey, if that ever, you hear that comes up for tax forfeiture, let us know. And I have sent forward the email to Teresa to let them know, but I think they're possibly moving, so I don't know if they're still interested
going
in.
Down the
yeah, so.
But that's something that if Teresa knows, that if that house is for sale, that there's a possibility the people that buy it
right.
could buy that and have themselves a nice big
Exactly.
So how do they set the price? So we have first crack at it, so.
Yeah, typically.
Fair market value type of price.
Yeah, and I'll double check on that, what it would be. If, you know, if we were interested in declaring that, you know, property.
We could buy it later.
Because right now it's, what, $4,000 they got on it?
Buddy over here said that we could use it to turn it into a parking lot to buy a small one.
Why don't you figure out what that fair market value is and.
Okay, I will check on that.
Group and we can make a decision.
Because we got to August 13th, so.
Yeah. No other questions?
I'll follow up on that.
Move on to National Night Out.
I'll just make you aware that it's sneaking up on us again. August 6th, so I think kind of staff will kind of take care of everything. I'll put something in the packet for the July 30th, you know, for times.
Yeah. Last year's supplies were pretty decent.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's always hard to tell.
Yeah.
I think last year was down a little bit.
The year before that was up.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it depends what's all going on that day, yeah. You know, there's. You know, like you say, if you get rain outs and T-ball carries on longer or those type things. But I'll take care of all the supplies. We'll get everything set up and good to go. I'll talk to Scott about setting up for a fire department, getting someone there from sheriff's office and the face painters again. So.
Sounds good.
So we'll keep our tradition going.
Park Vandalism 2018 tree.
Okay, so just if you all remember back in, I'm trying to remember, it was last summer when they debarked the tree down there. And I don't know if I can release names because they're juveniles. So I don't think we can, you know, put their names out there. But I did receive a letter today about a year later from that incident, that they have decided not to prosecute or press any charges. So, I mean, as far as we're concerned, we're out of tree.
Yeah.
I mean, to do a civil lawsuit to try to go after them families, I think it would cost us more than what a tree's worth. So just wanted to forward that to council.
So in other words, that's how the way America is going to set precedents in the future, to just let our kids do whatever the hell they want.
So if you want, I can give you a copy of the number if you want to contact them. And for, I can't remember how it was worded, but if you didn't agree with it or...
Why don't you just black out the kids' names on the
tree? Sure, I'll do that, and then I'll get them to council. Yep.
The tree did.
Tree is dying now. I don't know how it survived till now, but it is now starting to die.
Being that we're on the tree, I know Greg's probably and Nellie both probably talked to you about that one that hangs over the park down there. Are we going to trim that? Or they asked me about it. I said trim.
Softball field.
Oh, yes, that one, yes, the far field.
Yes.
I think we should. Greg wants it out of there. When I talked to him, he thought, just get rid of it, the whole thing, was his thought.
I don't know what the rest of you guys think, but it's a pain.
It is.
It's right over home plate.
Yeah, I looked at it Sunday, and I was down there, and now it was cutting lawn, and I drove down there, and looked at it. At least trim it or do something. Or
well, and how many fields do you see with a tree that close to the field?
I mean, that just makes it unique.
Nicely shaded for the catcher, but you know, pop up there. Yeah.
You know, and I just heard from somebody at C-30 in the morning that played when I stopped in there that you can go to the Conkey, is it out there?
Conkey.
Conkey. You go out there and you buy pretty good sized maple trees. Or was that you that was telling me?
Maples, right?
For like $15, $20, $25.
Really?
Especially on their barber lot and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really? So.
Okay.
Maybe we should look at going that route and putting one in and move it back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's the old one that they have a lot of equipment in there.
Yeah. Yeah. We get them that cheap.
I can call them over there and find out what the cost would be.
Because Greg can get for the Bobcat, he can get him a Dave Schutte's got a spade, so he can spade it in himself or just take the Bobcat bucket, dig a hole and put it in there nice and melt and pack it with dirt.
Okay.
Water.
Last piece of new city business, look for a motion to hold the second council meeting on July 30th, 2019, following the two public hearings.
I move to hold a second meeting on July 30th, 2019, following the two public hearings.
Second. Moved and seconded to hold the second meeting for July 30th, 2019, following the two public hearings. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Second meeting.
And then just a quick note on that, the attorneys will be here. So.
Will you think about maybe a close meeting?
Yes, correct. For discussions on the Travis property.
Move on then to council reports. Councilman Buckentine.
No.
Councilman Trees.
I think we already talked about this, but that vent on the side of the
wall
here, is that being fixed as part of this? Or is
it was supposed to be, but I think they forgot.
I see that everyone was hanging there, and there it looked like they kind of pulled out. I was like, I didn't know if that was what we need to do to follow up on that.
I can, I'll check with Layton.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll get Metro Air or somebody West Metro or somebody to come out and replace it before, dare you say, a winter sneaks up on us.
Shush.
That's all.
Councilman Feltman.
I just had a tree and that's taken care of, so.
Okay. Councilman Poplar.
Nothing.
Only thing I have, Jeremy Ford made an interesting email this morning. And so I just wanted to get the council's blessing or not. On August 20th, the mayors from Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Wisconsin have all been invited to the White House. And so I was going to see if the council had any objection in moving me on that trip. It'll be a two-night affair. I think airfare right now, when I looked at it, flying into Reagan Airport for the trip, it was $235, and I think it's $210 or $190 a night for the room. And I thought it would be $2 if I was to go, and that I would also try to meet with Emmer and our senators as well. I don't know if they'll be invited to this thing or not. Just wanted to bring it up to the group and see what your thoughts were.
You can bring up the water tower, though?
I can bring up the Historical Society.
Historical Society.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I can definitely bring that up.
Chapeau. That's the acronym for them.
Yes.
Chapeau.
What cities were invited?
It's all state of Illinois, state of Indiana, state of Minnesota, state of Wisconsin. Apparently they've been doing this with other groups, and it's just our turn. Just a thought. Any objections to it, or?
It's an expensive trip.
I was a little bit surprised as well. It's cheaper for me to go to DC than the plan trip I'm trying to plan in September than normal.
So approximately $600 to $700
Probably closer to $600.
I guess I'm opposed.
Interesting.
That's okay. I'll just go by the way of the manual.
Would you need a motion?
I would say probably do it and just follow our out-of-state travel policy here. To let Chris go bump elbows with Mr. Trump at the White House.
I second it.
So moved and second to approve the invitation to the White House for the mayor of Hamburg. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Do you want to take care of that, or do you want me to take care of the RSVP?
You can go ahead and set all that up, and then what I'll do, Chris, is I'll send you the out-of-state policy.
Yes.
And then you have that, and we just, as long as we follow that, we're good.
Yep. Well, nobody else has anything good for the city to talk about tonight. I look for a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
It's moved in seconds to adjourn the Hamburg City Council meeting July 9th, 2019 at 7:59. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.
Yes.